You're listening to the MicroConf podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. In this episode, we dive into six SaaS ideas to build in 2025 before someone else does. This video is, of course, audio pulled from one of our YouTube videos. We will link that video up in the show notes. Before we dive into the meat of the episode, applications to our online community called MicroConf Connect are closing today, April 9th, for our April cohort. If you apply before midnight and you're accepted, you can attend the Connect Live session with Wes Bush, author of Product-Led Growth, on April 16th, and an AMA with me on April 24th. Head to microconfconnect.com if you'd like to apply. We only take applications once per month because we do a group onboarding and we like to have folks enter in cohorts. So microconfconnect.com, got to get there by midnight on April 9th. Otherwise, you can apply for our May cohort. Before we dive into the episode, I want to let you know about the MicroConf Growth Retreat, a new event we're launching in London from May 14th to the 16th of 2025. This isn't your average conference. We're keeping it intimate with just 40 to 60 SaaS founders joining us for deep networking and invaluable insights. We'll have focused morning work sessions where you'll gain clarity on your business challenges, followed by unforgettable afternoon excursions exploring the best of London. And then we'll end each night with a reception. Tickets are limited, so head over to microconf.com/retreat to secure your spot. We will sell this event out. If you want to go to the MicroConf Growth Retreat in London, head to microconf.com/retreat. And with that, let's dive into six SaaS ideas to build in 2025. Starting a business isn't just about becoming the next Silicon Valley unicorn. I think that one of the powers of building software, starting SaaS companies, is about creating freedom. Imagine you had an extra $2,000, $4,000, or even $10,000 a month in your budget to cover your mortgage, maybe a car payment, daycare, or maybe in your life, it covers a lot more than that. There is no more profitable business that I know of than B2B SaaS. I'm Rob Walling. I've built and sold a handful of companies. I've written 5 books, and I've invested in more than 210 SaaS startups. I often say that instead of telling me your idea, tell me the problem it solves and for whom. And so in this video, we dug deep into Reddit threads to find 6 real problems that people in a business context are facing and looking to solve. These are ideas that we think have the potential to become real income-generating SaaS companies. These ideas are very unlikely to become billion-dollar outcomes, but just maybe you could build a business that allows you to kiss your day job goodbye. The first idea is inventory management for custom apparel businesses, and we'll link up the Reddit threads for all 6 of these ideas in the description. And in this video, I use the acronym OP for original poster, the person who posted the idea. The OP writes, "We are a relatively small company that produces custom apparel for artists, musicians, other businesses, as well as creating and selling our own designs, often one-of-a-kind runs. We sell via bulk runs, e-commerce, and sell at various events. Products we sell on the website are made to order. I need software that does 4 things. Number 1, tracks component apparel, for example, blank shirts, hats, hoodies, etc. Integrates with our Shopify store and accounts for component apparel used for each made-to-order sale. Creates barcodes and SKUs for one-of-a-kind items sold at vending booths and tracks work-in-progress items, for example, a white t-shirt that was tie-dyed and will likely be used for embroidery later. Obviously, I don't expect free software, but something that costs $100 per month may be more than we can afford at this time. But as the manager, I may be able to convince the owner that paying that amount or more may be necessary." So I think the OP is saying, I don't expect it to be free, but $100 a month is too much if I'm interpreting this. And some of these Reddit threads, I'll admit, are, you know, they write things that are a bit unclear. So we're trying to make an interpretation here. Most of the ideas in this video are focused on a vertical niche. And this is not only apparel, but it's custom apparel. I really like vertical and orthogonal apps because they have a lot of advantages over the competitive bloodbath that horizontal SaaS brings. But if I was going to do any of these, I would personally try to lean into a competitive advantage I have, whether it's an existing network or an audience, or frankly, just some experience or someone I know that's in one of these spaces. You don't need that to start a SaaS. I know so many founders who've gone into spaces where they didn't have experience, but in these tight right vertical niches, it is always helpful if you can possibly pile on your competitive advantage. When most of us are starting out, we don't have a competitive advantage in any space. So at a certain point, you do just have to make a decision and move forward. But the more experience you get, the more ideas you try, the more extensive your network, obviously, the more likelihood that you can find yourself with a competitive advantage in one of these spaces. Second idea is integrating ticketing systems across customers. The OP writes, I'm reaching out to see how managed service providers or MSPs are managing the challenge of dealing with multiple external ticketing systems when the communication happens via email rather than API integration. We work with clients who use platforms like Topdesk, Freshservice, ServiceNow, and others. Since there's no API integration in place, all communication comes in the form of emails, which are then processed in our own ticketing system. This setup has proven to be a constant headache. Here are the core issues we're facing. The first is email formatting inconsistencies. External ticketing systems send emails in wildly different formats, making it tough to parse and automate ticket handling consistently. Auto-reply loops. It's all too common for auto-replies to create endless loops, with both systems firing responses back and forth. This clogs up our system and creates a lot of noise. Manual ticket management. Despite efforts to automate, we often have to manually merge responses, assign tickets correctly, or even identify duplicate tickets because the email integration is far from stable. And the fourth is customization challenges. Even with customer-specific configurations to handle emails better, it's fragile. One slight change in the external ticketing system's email behavior can break the whole setup. We've tried building rules and filters, but they can only go so far. The entire process feels duct taped together, and I can't shake the feeling there must be a better way. And maybe, just maybe, if you know what an MSP is, the better way might be you building some software. But first, of course, it would be some type of validation. Is anyone else searching for this? Do you see any other threads anywhere on Quora, on Stack Exchange? Do you see any Google keyword searches for this type of tool? Or do you just see Reddit threads? Can you do cold outreach to folks who are in the same position as this person? Because one person's need does not define a market. But if the need is desperate enough and enough people have it, and you can get into conversations with even a handful of folks who share this same pain, this may be something you want to tackle. Idea number three is an ERP for small manufacturing facilities. So the OP paraphrased writes, we have a small dietary supplement manufacturer in the US, about 30 employees, and we need to upgrade our system to a unified ERP. We manufacture things like you would see at GNC, health pills and electrolytes. So it's like vitamin stuff. We use a system of QuickBooks and lots of spreadsheets and some third-party apps, but managing them and syncing them, even with automation, is too much. There aren't the software controls or permissions available to know when someone has done something accurately or at all. So that's one main reason for going the ERP route. Some of the pain points are traceability. Every ingredient that comes in needs to be traced all the way through what it's used in and to whom it gets shipped to. Number two is change order requests to work orders. Number three is accurate costing with regards to loss yields and scrap. And the fourth is processing adjustments. For example, adding flow agents and manufacturing processing aids and accounting for that due to ambient environmental conditions. I'm looking for ERP recommendations. I was considering Business Central, either through a Microsoft partner or the Appian build-ons, but I'm just not sure if that's the right fit. And the OP goes on to write some concerns they have about existing options. And they wrap up with, it's important to have APIs for us to be able to extract data for business intelligence and other automations with third-party tools and to share across Shopify and other custom ordering portals we created for clients. It's not the sexiest business, but I like really boring B2B SaaS because most people don't want to get into it and you can charge a lot for it. I've never built an ERP. I've never used an ERP, but I know what one is. And if you want to get into this type of space, the big upfront task would be to do some type of validation. You start with your 2-hour validation of research online, looking at keyword tools, looking at all the places that people hang out. Does anyone else have this type of problem? Then think about your 20-hour validation, which is outreach and talking to folks who might have this problem, as well as potentially building a landing page and sending people to it. And then, of course, 200-hour validation, if you get there, is building the MVP. In this case, you're building an ERP. It's not going to take 200 hours. It's going to take a lot more. So this would be a case of 220 and then something more than 200 to get an MVP in people's hands. This is the type of software that you would need to charge a lot of money. This is not a $50 a month, $100 a month app. You're going to need to be really digging in. You're going to be thinking 10, 20, 40K a year to provide this level of sophistication and power that this OP is looking for. And if you look at any of the competitors the OP mentioned, they're all very, very expensive. If you're not quite ready to build a standalone SaaS like an ERP, here's something you should consider: building a marketplace app. I recently sat down with Sneer Alayoff, who launched 4 apps on the Monday.com marketplace. And within a year, he's already at $30,000 in monthly recurring revenue. In our conversation, he broke down his exact process for finding and validating these micro SaaS ideas. You've heard me talk about this before. App marketplaces make fantastic first businesses because you're not starting from zero since you've got a built-in customer base. Take Monday.com, for example. They've got over 225,000 customers across more than 200 industries, and 90% of their large paying customers have at least one app installed. If you aren't familiar, Monday.com is a multi-product platform that runs all core aspects of work. Business owners and teams of all sorts use it to streamline their work using their work management, CRM, service, and dev products. If you want to follow Sneer's path, Monday.com has put together this detailed ebook that's essentially your customer research playbook. It breaks down their core user groups, typical job titles, specific pain points, and how these customers are actually using the platform. It's basically months of customer research handed to you on a silver platter. To grab your free copy, just head over to the link below, fill out a quick form, and sign up for your developer account. Big thanks to Monday.com for sponsoring this video. Now let's dive into our next idea. Idea number 4 is client portal for a retail in-person business, brick and mortar. The OP writes, "I need a software platform or website integration that allows us to solve a few things for our customers. Mainly, the customer experience and satisfaction from having a one-stop shop for their order or service they want. We don't have inventory. Everything we sell is custom ordered. 1 to 1.5 years out is not uncommon. Items are sourced from all over the globe and sold in the US. We also offer consulting services to clients in the same field. This requires deliverables. The client portal should have," and the OP writes a lot of bullets. I'll read the first 3 or 4, but you can reference the post if you want. The first one is a login portal with order or service details. Second is approval process workflow with contracts to sign by the client, PO and invoicing, file management for documents and pictures, integration with Dropbox is fine. And then, you know, there's 7, 8, 9, 10 more bullets that you can reference if you're interested in this one. The OP wraps up, "Above are some of the features I would like. Some I'll have to rely on API connections from other systems." Do you want to build software for brick and mortar businesses? I don't know, could be an untapped market. Or could be a problem that only this one person has, or could be a very small market. As with all these ideas, they haven't been validated. We've just encountered problems on the internet. This is the very tip of the spear in terms of doing research online to find real problems that real businesses are experiencing. And in theory, these real businesses should be willing to pay for. That's the seed of a great startup idea. Idea number 5 is a simple MAM, media asset management. Mostly videos, and at the least for one person content creators. Simple, budget friendly. We tweaked this original post to make it easier to read, but the OP writes, "I'm a solo content creator who's wasting too much time sifting through B-roll or having to reshoot footage because I can't remember what I have. I spent hours yesterday going through various options, KYNO, though it's dead now, Edit Ready, and I'm currently trying out Vidoo. Vidoo isn't bad, though it's very clunky. They're a tiny team and don't update enough, so necessary features aren't being added, and it sometimes creates additional workflow. My other option was to pay for an advanced MacBook Finder and just tag and write descriptions. The OP wants it to be available offline, to manage 1 to 2 existing hard drives, to ideally be a one-time solution." Ooh, not a subscription. Well, see, I would personally be vetting, does anyone else willing to pay a subscription? The OP has talked a lot about it being simple and budget friendly, and usually that's a real recipe for a high churn, high demand. Like, I want this to do everything for $20 a month or $200 one time. It's tough. So I'm honestly not a huge fan of this idea, but we obviously want to surface it so you can see the kinds of things that are available out there and the problems that people are looking to solve. And I have one more idea for you. But before I get into that, if you're wondering how to find and validate SaaS ideas, you should check out the SaaS Launchpad. It is the best course I've ever created. It's more than 9 hours of in-depth lessons covering the entire journey from idea conception to product launch. You can get a free sample module. It's 28 minutes of content called the DNA of a great SaaS idea to just get a little taste of how good this course is. I've never released it anywhere else. And if you go to saaslaunchpad.co and click the start free button, you can download that today. All right, let's dive into our 6th and final idea for this video. It's a museum cataloging app. The OP is looking for a museum cataloging app that's price accessible for small historical societies. The main one, Past Perfect, is over $1,000 and does not have full mobile capabilities. So my question is that $1,000 a month or a year? Because if you want something for less than $1,000 a year, man, it better be self-serve, it better be crazy simple, and it better not need any new features. It should be feature complete after, you know, months of development. Back to the OP's post. Even though it's a one-time purchase, oh no, this is another one. This is so interesting. And this shows you, as you walk through ideas on the internet, to pay attention to this kind of stuff. You're hearing my commentary as I'm going through it of saying, ooh, this is a pitfall that I wouldn't want to sell to this particular customer, because if they want to pay one time, I'm not interested. I'm in to build a subscription business. And so as you do research and look for ideas, you're going to pick up on these little yellow flags that I'm trying to point out to you. So I hope they're helpful. I'm going to continue with the OP's post. Even though it's a one-time purchase, a lot of groups don't have spare computers lying around or can't access their whole facility from one desktop computer. And then you need cameras. An app that volunteers could download to use their own mobile devices and upload to a central database would help beyond measure. An annual or monthly subscription would be ideal. Oh, here we go. So the person is open to a subscription. Something where it measured the number of users accessing at once versus how many devices, because volunteers come and go. Yeah, so just I'm jumping in here. You would want to do like monthly active users. So you don't do named users, but you would say however many users were active in a given month or a given quarter, probably a month, then the pricing would be based on that. Back to the OP's post. It would just need to be database input items with a few different options that could export to a spreadsheet as needed and a place to upload photos. Skipping down to the end, Past Perfect is the most affordable, reputable, professional-grade software. Top-level institutions seem to have custom IT solutions. There's a few other pieces of software on the market, but the last one I saw quote for had a package in the $3,000 to $5,000 range, which is about double the discretionary spending budget at most places I've volunteered. If an affordable solution exists, it's not being marketed well to small and medium nonprofit history organizations. Obviously, this is pretty niche, but according to the American Association for State and Local History, there's between 3,000 and 4,500 historical society museums spread across the U.S. As always, your mileage may vary. Do more research. But it's interesting that this person actually went from one time to saying, I'd be willing to pay a subscription.